to Our Backyard, a locally produced report and commentary about environmental issues in our backyard. This edition, a special program about burials. You're probably dying to do the right thing during your time here on Earth, whether it's taking good care of your family, seeking the right livelihood, reducing your carbon footprint, working for social justice, or doing what you can to live by the precepts of sustainability. But you probably haven't realized that you can also act on these ideas when you die, for the greater good of your friends and family and the planet. These words are from the introduction to the 30th anniversary edition of the Solar Living Source Book. It's a condensed version of the forthcoming book, Be a Tree, The Manual for Turning Yourself into a Forest by Cynthia Beal. The book will be published next year. Cynthia Beal is a very interesting woman with an infectious laugh and an enthusiasm for life. I spoke with her this week.
Tell me about green burials, Cynthia. Tell me what you believe that people should know about a green burial.
Well, there's a lot to it. First of all, the most important thing to know is that a natural burial is possible. A natural burial is an option that is offered in many places around the world. A natural burial was what we all had constantly up until just a few short decades ago. Being put back into the earth without any chemicals in our bodies and permitted to decompose naturally and feed the soil web and the soil creatures is probably one of the most natural things that could ever happen in a life when you think about it. In England, natural burial has been going on for easily over 15 years. There are more than 250 woodland burial grounds in England where you can be planted in the ground and become part of an orchard or a coppice of trees or a meadow or a forest or a wild land or a moor. All kinds of opportunities exist. I've been to places where cattle graze on you and sheep graze over you with beautiful benches sitting in the middle of a field. You can't see anything but the heather. There are urban cemeteries right now in the towns of Brighton and Carlisle where the citizens can go and in a public managed piece of ground that functions exactly like a traditional cemetery. There you are. You go right into the ground naturally. You have a tree planted on you. And when the land area is filled with all of the bodies it can hold, there's a nice little forest of trees. In the particular case I'm thinking of in Carlisle, they're all old oak, the oaks. And the ground is filled with snowbells and bluebells, and the birds are there, and it's never mowed, and it's just a lovely, peaceful place. And that seems so natural to me. I think what I really want people to understand is that this is an option. This is a completely practical option. There aren't public health and safety issues that need to be hyper-managed. We've got examples in Europe and England and lots of places that prove that even our conventional, highly civilized, organized society doesn't have a problem with a natural option for people.
But doesn't this fly in the face of the traditional method of dealing with our remains, the burial process, the casket, the services, and all these things? Isn't this in kind of the opposite of what we have traditionally viewed as the way we're buried?
Well, yes, in a sense. First of all, let me correct the word tradition, if I might.
Please.
Because traditionally, we did a natural burial. I come from an organic agriculture background, and I'm very much reminded with the natural burial movement of the organic agriculture movement, too. When we first asked for organic carrots and organic apples and organic broccoli, we were told that the traditional farming method needed chemicals and a petro-intensive process in order to produce enough food for all of us. And we were told that we would never be able to grow enough carrots commercially or enough corn commercially and organically at the same time. And we had to say, no, that the traditional method is the natural farming. We went through a phase in our society where we began to use these chemicals and these other tools that have served a purpose for a time. And that purpose and that time may be coming to an end, at least for some of us. I'm not saying that anyone who wants to have that conventional casketed embalming system shouldn't have that anymore. But I am saying that those of us who want to have a natural alternative have our right to have that option met too. And I believe that that is more in keeping with what I would call a traditional burial.
For decades, the end of a human life in American society has been managed by a cadre of corporate professionals who package our experience of death just as rigidly as others have packaged our living. Prior to the modern era, death was the exclusive province of the family. Burials were done according to custom and tradition. Respect was a matter of course, for strangers were not in charge, and dignity was conferred in the sincere, if sometimes clumsy, acts of caring for and carrying our dead. Today, however, life moves rather mechanically, and for a hefty fee, out of the raft of boxes above ground, into more boxes below. Once you have died, your body is expertly managed by a professional funeral services team, plumped and preserved from the immediate decay with environmentally harmful embalming fluid, interred in a metal chipboard or plastic decorative box with an optional airtight seal at extra cost to prevent contact with the elements. And the casket is placed into a rigid liner deemed unnecessary in most non-American cemeteries, but considered mandatory by U.S. cemetery managers for lawn maintenance. And it's usually buried on government-regulated grounds on high-priced real estate that easily commands upward of $1 million or more an acre for its owners. For lots of people, that double box process looks like litters, and upon closer examination, it's not the dignified and simple close to a grateful life that most of us wish to have. A popular outdoor ethics campaign, the Leave No Trace program, took backyard garbage to heart in the 70s and 80s, thoughtfully outlining objectives for individual waste management and behavior when visiting natural and wilderness areas. Plan ahead, dispose of waste properly, minimize impact, respect wildlife. Many folks think we're just visiting here on Earth, and when it's your time to go, Leave No Trace doesn't seem like such a bad idea. Today, people are beginning to question the wisdom of leaving toxic burial chemicals and synthetic substances in the ground and atmosphere for future generations to clean up. If pressed, many of these same folks would prefer their bodies to leave no trace as well. Cynthia Beal questions the environmental costs of toxic burial chemicals and actively promotes alternatives. She points out that under most state and federal regulations, any company would be hard-pressed to get permits to bury almost 2 million gallons of embalming fluid in the soil annually, and yet that's exactly what happens in most of the 1.5 million bodies that are embalmed and buried in U.S. cemeteries every year.
When Jessica Mitford wrote her book, The American Way of Death,
oh, yes,
wasn't it?
Yes.
She ruffled a lot of feathers. And then she, just before her death, she actually did a revision, or actually an updated version of that, I believe, in the, I want to say 1998, somewhere around there. And then she passed. She ran into a lot of criticism from the organized American funeral industry. And she was accused of a lot of things. Her character was held up to ridicule by a lot of people. And do you think that was because she was affecting or maybe criticizing the American funeral industry, or whether she was proposing something that was perhaps infringing upon a ritual process that Americans had become comfortable with, had become more at ease with, the embalmed ornate casket, the concrete vault, the perpetual care of the cemetery and so on. I mean, it seems to me there were a couple of things happening on a couple of different levels. I'd like your thoughts on that.
Well, it's actually a very complex subject. I don't really know why she personally was attacked. I do know that.
Well, she was kind of a lefty. Is part of the problem. She also joined the Communist Party in the 50s. Not a good move in this country. But she was married to a labor lawyer who defended labor unions and so on. So yes, yeah, she was kind of politically active in a lot of ways. So,
right.
So she came to that process
well,
that way.
I understand that. Let's deconstruct the question and the situation a little
Please.
Bit. First of all, the funeral industry and the human beings who are professional funeral service providers are two different things. And the funeral industry is not out to serve the human being who's walking in the front door. The funeral service provider, who's a professional person who runs a funeral home or runs a cemetery, by and large is an extremely service-oriented person. The industry has, especially over the last 30 to 40 years, really narrowed the product choices that a caring funeral service professional can supply to somebody who is walking in the front door. So when Mitford wrote her book, I think she rightfully pointed out the downsides to letting a very narrow number of options be dictated by a relatively narrow set of financial interests. And then that got conflated with the intent of the people who were providing the funeral services. Many of the funeral service providers out there, I think, would supply a biodegradable casket or a natural burial process to the people who were walking in the door if that product were easily available to them and if the cemeteries that were the places where the bodies were interred were also focused on being natural, sustainable pieces of ground. In today's day and age, 2007, I don't really understand why any cemetery is not using sustainable landscape management practices. We have plenty of ways to deal with grounds. Golf courses are figuring it out. Hotels are figuring it out. So a cemetery could elect to be herbicide-free and pesticide-free and fertilizer-free. A cemetery could choose no-mow. A cemetery could choose liner-free, vault-free burial. I believe that a funeral service provider, if they had access to a biodegradable casket and there were burial grounds where people were being able to be buried naturally, I think that that service provider would provide that to people. I think that the industry may have some strong opinions about whether or not they think that green burial is a place that they will be able to continue, that they'll be able to add to their business model. I personally believe that they should be able to add the green burial option to their business model.
There's a cemetery in Hillsborough, I believe, that has
yes.
Embraced that idea. Are there any others that you're aware of?
Valley Memorial Park in Hillsborough is working on that. There are a number of cemeteries around the state, actually, pioneer cemeteries that have historically not required a liner for burial. One of the things I'd like to share is that in order to have a natural burial, there's kind of a hierarchy of things you need to do. And you can start just by having no embalming at the time of your death. And you can choose a home funeral. Or you could find a funeral director who would use refrigeration instead of embalming if you wanted to view. That's easy. So you start with a clean process. Keep your body clean.
Conventional embalming fluid contains a number of chemicals, including methanol, ethanol, and formaldehyde, the latter a suspected carcinogen linked to nasal and lung cancer in mortuary workers and other occupational groups. Used by a large number of funeral homes to slow the body's decomposition, formaldehyde arrests natural breakdown processes by fixing cellular proteins. It stiffens the body's tissues and, with the help of added colorants, is used to make a corpse more attractive. And guess what else is buried along with these embalmed bodies every year? More than 100,000 tons of steel, 10 tons of copper and brass, 30 million board feet of hardwood timber, uncounted tons of plastic, vinyl, and fiberglass, and 1.5 million tons of reinforced concrete accompany Americans to their afterlife. The chemical intensive double box casket and liner system used in this unnatural burial is an industrial solution to the uncomfortable and very human experience that usually accompanies our big end. In an often compassionate but increasingly commercial and profitable effort to ease our emotional pain, offending sights and smells are whisked away and the vacuum is filled with services that temporarily mask the reality of death. The box is pretty, the lawns are neat, and nature can't get a word in edgewise.
Do you make a distinction between the actual burial and the ritual process of the service? How does that relate?
The ritual process of the service can be whatever a person wants it to be. And in fact, I think once we begin to look at the possibilities of a natural burial, and we begin to learn that there are a number of the aspects of the funeral process itself we could be directly involved in, creativity can go wild. You can pretty much do what you would like to have done. And you can have a funeral service provider facilitate it or not. There are people emerging in the country called celebrants. Celebrants help us all reclaim or create more personal rituals in everything we do, from births to weddings to deaths. We are in a much more secular time now. Most of us have grown up out of contact, or we're no longer maintaining close ties with the cultural traditions that our families once had. And we have to reinvent a lot of this for ourselves now. And I think we're going to be stronger by taking the step and reinventing it for ourselves. Natural burial is just one way in which we could do that. So, for example, at Valley Memorial, if you were going to have a natural burial there, you'd have them, they would open the grave for you. But you probably can script what you want to have happen just like you could if you were doing a conventional funeral, frankly.
So there could be no difference other than the container itself, or there could be every difference.
Exactly.
Where it could be customized to whatever you choose.
Right. I think the point I'm trying to communicate in this next couple of years is that natural burial is a viable option. It's safe. It's something that a cemetery who wants to cater to a large group of people who are currently not being buried might consider this as an option. We have a high cremation rate in Oregon and in Washington and in California. And my suspicion, after talking with a lot of people, is many of them are being cremated because they are dissatisfied with the conventional form of two-box burial, the casket and the vault. And they're not really going to cremation because they want to be cremated, because that is really the thing that is moving them. And I'm not denying there is a certain group of people for whom cremation is right. It's a spiritual path. But when I say to people, if you had your choice between being cremated or being planted on the edge of an urban growth boundary with 1,000 of your friends, and turning into a 300-year-old tree and providing habitat and restoring the soil web and sequestering carbon and breathing out oxygen and doing brownfields remediation and being a place for people to walk and children to play, would you rather be cremated or would you rather be a tree?
Until recently, the environmentalist response to this product-intensive and cumbersome product has been to opt for cremation. However, as baby boomers age and the actual experience of managing our deaths and those of our parents and friends comes upon us, cremation, now complicated by legitimate questions around energy use, mercury and carbon emissions, the lack of meaningful and enforceable environmental standards, and an aging industrial crematoria, it's not always the modern funeral panacea most would wish it to be. The urgent creativity of the 21st century is rising to these challenges, and other solutions for our body's final end that support the values of green space preservation, carbon sequestration, habitat creation, nutrient recycling, and brownfields reclamation are becoming available. Our understanding of the importance of forests and the usefulness of trees, along with the power of the soil to transform natural elements and return them to utility for the web of life itself, grows every year. The demand to leave no trace is increasing. On the heels of these developments and the emergence of a consumer who is looking for a clean, green death to accompany a conscious, low environmental impact life, natural burial is an exciting solution with win-win scenarios for individuals, communities, and our wildlife friends at every turn. Once you're done with your body, only one thing happens to it next. It goes away. Well, it never goes away. In the words of anthropologist and garbage guru William Rathje, there is no away, he says. So you do go somewhere. Fortunately, where you go and how you go is still up to you. If you want to take control of the situation, you'll need to decide to manage your physical remains for preservation, disappearance, or return. In other words, reintegration into the interdependent biological organism that cycles elements on planet Earth. According to modern biologists, living systems depend on a complex network that coordinates independent cells so that they function together as skin, organs, blood, and nerves, working as a team. In other words, you repel the invasion of external bacteria and fungi that would otherwise colonize and consume the weaker individuals. Life is a constant struggle to resist turning into something else's dinner, and as long as you're around, your side is winning. As soon as you check out, however, that system collapses, and your cells, no longer your very clever and fun-loving collective that is turning sunlight into biochemical energy, and from that into gardens, solar arrays, and microbrew festivals, bid each other a fond farewell and take their turn as food. In the natural world, a whole host of creatures, animals, insects, fungi, microbes, they all get their spot in the sun, so to speak, and take on a very necessary work of breaking you down into smaller component parts, putting you back into the system that you built yourself from in the first place. It's an amazing cycle, or it can be if we just leave it alone.
Yeah, you seem very happy with what you're doing. Where do you find the happiness in this? What makes you so happy? You're just bubbling with enthusiasm and joy.
Over death, I know. It's almost embarrassing to be so happy about the end. One of the things I've realized is with death, I like to say I'm starting with the period of my life, the dot at the end of the sentence, and I'm working backward toward the middle. And as I'm working with death, I'm finding there's nothing, absolutely nothing to be afraid of here. I'm finding this is a door. This is for me, anyway, I don't have any particular belief about what's necessarily beyond. For me, just recognizing there's very good, valuable work to do here, that in and of itself is rewarding. I think a lot of us today are looking for what we call right livelihood, some meaningful work. If you want to do meaningful work, you work in something necessary. You work touching something essential, and ideally you work handling something inevitable. And if we were all dealing with the essential and the necessary and the inevitable, I think the world would look quite different, and I know it does for me.
Excellent. So we're looking at a spiritual versus a chemical, a spiritually enhanced versus a chemically enhanced process here to a certain extent. When I spoke with you the first time, I told you that my thought when I heard about you and what you were doing is that was, what's the last good thing you can do for the planet? And that made me feel good about that not in a material way, but in a spiritual way.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Do you find people coming to you with those kind of spiritual questions? I don't mean necessarily organized religious questions, but I mean questions having to do with our place in the universe. Is that a little too esoteric or a little bit too out there, or is it more on a practical level?
Well, I think that the conversation rightfully starts with the practical, and I think that part of what natural burial does, just very simply, is it says to each one of us that we are embedded in a natural process. And intuitively, I think we all know that. And I think that many of the people that I'm close to think of the natural process as being in itself a spiritual one. We come from the elements of the earth, we return to the elements of the earth. We don't really need an intercessor for that. It's simply the unfolding of a natural law. And there is no converting that natural law. There is no avoiding that natural law. When I started analyzing this, I realized there were three ways to go. I just like get nice little simple mnemonics here. And we can either preserve ourselves, we can disappear ourselves, or we can return ourselves. Those are the three things that can happen. So we can either stick around in some desiccated form and not be much use to anyone, but we can certainly be preserved. Our function isn't preserved, but our form is preserved, and our elements are held in one place. We can disappear. For example, in cremation, that would be one way of doing it, but ideally, we've spoke of this earlier, you need to truly disappear. You don't want a carbon footprint, you don't want a mercury toxins footprint. Ideally, it would be nice not to have an energy footprint. Or you can return. And from my point of view, the return of my elements, i.e., I built myself up through my whole life to be this wonderful walking around thing of stuff. And there's a place where I'm going to get to that's called the end. And I'm not going to be a walking around bunch of stuff anymore. And I don't want to leave a mess. I just want to put my stuff back. And I feel like if I just put my stuff back so the next bits of life can use my stuff and it can be their stuff for a while, I mean, that seems like service work to me.
Beautiful.
Cynthia Beale is intelligent, committed, and clearly aware of what she's doing. Her perspective on dying has, in my observation, enhanced her appreciation of and satisfaction with living. Interviewing her was a delight, and I learned a lot. You can learn more about natural burial by going to www.naturalburialcompany.com. So until the next time, please keep listening to KBOO News and Public Affairs. We'll keep you informed. After all, this is our backyard.